The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
Today, we are speaking with the author of the book, and the title says everything. The book's title is Decrypted, A Financial Trader's Take on Cryptocurrency. My guest is Leng Ho Lon. He's a financial trader, blockchain, angel investor, and of course, author of the book we're reading today. Bitcoin turned 10 years old last Wednesday, and that occasion led to renewed debate about the value of cryptocurrency. This especially given the volatility we've seen in the pioneer cryptocurrency and alt currency. Bitcoin is currently trading a bit above $6,400. That's down 67% this year. Up and down, up and down. How do you capitalize on crypto prices cycles? Some analysts say these are predictable. But how far has Bitcoin come in the past decade? And what do you need to know if you hope to get into that this whole crypto space? We're going to find out. How do you even buy cryptocurrency? Joining us, Leng Ho Lon. Congratulations on your book. Let's give our listeners a little bit of a background on it. So you say you raised $170,000 with this book, which was initially meant for charitable reasons.
It was totally unplanned. So as I was writing this book, I can expand on how I come about writing this book. But as I was writing the book, it's obviously not for commercial success because I'm still having a day job. But if I have to sell it, so I thought you might as well get to the charity. So I reached out to friends and my current workplace, which kindly donated half of the amount that I raised, so made it a total of 170,000.
Run of 1,000 books.
That's correct. That was in May. So Marshall Cavendish kindly now printed this version and is now on sale, so I'm very happy about it.
Yeah, the book just hit bookshelves a couple of weeks ago, you say?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, so it's hot as hot can be. Let's start, Holon, with your ideas on how you apply your trading experience to demystify crypto in this book.
So going back a little bit, 2016, I left my career, take a break, and I was venturing into tech startups. I spent a lot of time in NUS. And then the cryptocurrency caught my attention because of the infinite possibilities of the blockchain, and also my experience in trading caught my eye with this cryptocurrencies that going up and down quite a fair bit. So I thought where the dollar signs lit up on me, I saw the flip side of it. It has to be very confusing for a lot of investors because it's so new. And because of this, there would be a lot of wrong decisions and also fear-mongering. So I thought, you know, the more I share my experience, then people will probably get to know a bit more. So accredited investors usually okay because they with their experience, with their net worth, they could pay someone to understand a bit more. However, the risks lie in those that doesn't have enough information or money. Not only they make bad decisions on lack of information, they're also very susceptible to scams and cheats.
Yeah, in fact, the fear of missing out or FOMO that often is associated with cryptocurrency or alt currencies is something that you touch on in Chapter 7, and you say that people need to be aware of, the flip side, so to speak.
Yeah, so I tried to put the book with a lot of anecdotal examples. A lot of, I have to say thank you to the research team that helped me to build this up. I hope to make people understand this easily. But a lot of the content of this book, I try to skew it towards just like an ordinary investment. Anyone that wants to be part of a very volatile move in a financial instrument, whether it's a stock, a bond, or cryptocurrency, you really need to have the preparation for this.
So do you provide a framework?
Not so much in this book.
Anyone can use to understand it, no?
Not so much in this book, but I try to explain what it really is, and I touch upon how it's just like another investment, and you have to be eyes open when you go into it.
Okay, yeah. So let's get your views. How far do you think Bitcoin has come in the past decade?
Bitcoin has come a long way, but it's still extremely new. It comes from, there's a few chapters I tried to put demystify the myths, and also a few chapters I say that Bitcoin will never become a replacement for currency. So we will still have none of these markets will be, people resemble it as a bubble, like a tulip bubble and all this, right? But Bitcoin is more like a goal that people discover and then it's a store of value. It's something that will not vanish like tulips, right? So, and hasn't got much of institutional involvement. Mm-hmm. So I have, in my experience, I haven't seen anything that vanishes before you get a much bigger subscription to it, right? There's a lot of bad press, but there's not enough subscription to it. So there's a long way to go, not to mention the technology is going to build on it.
Okay. Some say, though, the energy required to mine Bitcoin has led to some wondering about its sustainability. What do you say?
I think that is a belief that Bitcoin is just energy turned into something.
Through crunching algorithms, yeah.
It is part of that, but it is really a technology that's built on a decentralized ledger that would lead to a lot of other developments on top of this technology. Bitcoin in itself is very small in this part of cryptocurrency and blockchain.
Right.
But it is Satoshi Nakamoto started this, that is 10 years ago, of this technology, that suddenly there is a system that can be there to provide a platform for any currencies without a central command.
But there's so much mystery around it. I mean, you just mentioned that anonymous programmer with the Japanese moniker. We don't even know if that person is an individual or a group.
Correct. And if that person exists today, it wouldn't be a Bitcoin because, you know, in the past, if you have even a decentralized project or a model, there is someone behind it, then it's not really decentralized. So it's in purpose that the person stays behind it so that this can take off.
Speaking of decentralization, we know that the Binance CEO has recently lauded Fidelity's move into the crypto asset space, but other critics are less welcoming of banks entering the space. As you mentioned, it was meant to be about decentralizing fiat, right? So what do you think about institutional interest in the space?
Institutional interest comes in a few modes. So some of it is waiting for this to develop to be a bigger market. So it's now like $200 billion. It was almost hitting $1 trillion. So a lot of institution is waiting for this to participate. But it's really, I think, it's the custodian solution that is not in place. Meaning, if you want to participate in Bitcoin, where do you keep it? How do you keep it safe? Right, it's quite daunting for any institution to keep a Bitcoin. In your question on why people are not favorable for banks to participate is all this myth about Bitcoin is not a proper investment. It's some sort of criminal activities. I explained some in the book, so hopefully that would demystify such a claim.
You're in Read with me, Michelle Martin, and today we're reading Decrypted, A Financial Trader's Take on Cryptocurrency. My guest is the author, Leng Ho Lon. He's a financial trader, blockchain angel investor, and the man who has demystified a lot of what cryptocurrency is and blockchain is. Whether you are into the cryptocurrency revolution or not, some say it's an extremely polarizing sphere. In 2009, an anonymous programmer releases a new method of paying and being paid to the world. No one runs it, no one controls it, no authority verifies it. In this, its creator promises is a way around banks and governments, around laws and regulations, and around failure itself. Well, that's from the book Decrypted, but is it really, a method to get around failure? Hold on. Tell me about what you think personal investors need to understand about cryptocurrency and blockchain.
I think a lot of personal investors think about money being hacked when they think about investing. That is a big difference between the hacking is on the exchange or hacking is from your wallet. You talk about phishing earlier on in your program. I think that is no different between a hack of an exchange that holds bitcoins and like a bank that's operating. So that is something that we cannot avoid, right? However, if you invest in cryptocurrencies in your wallet, the digital wallet that's encrypted, that is like a physical wallet that you have. The money in there, only you can actually access to it. However, if you lose those keys or passwords, you also lose the money, like just losing a physical wallet. So,
okay. So the security concerns, are they real? We know earlier this year, South Korean major cryptocurrency exchange Bitdam was sold for about over $300 million to a consortium that's led by a plastic surgeon. And hackers breached into Bitdam And it was one of the country's biggest virtual currency exchanges. And they stole $32 million.
Yes. So that's what I was talking about. So basically, most of this hack is through just a normal organization hack, right? A lot of them is maybe inside job that, mm-hmm. you know, people create holes and then leave the company and then hack it back. So that is a problem with every other new industry that is going so fast, right? So with money involved, people aim to create crime around those.
So you think there's no greater concerns about hacking into cryptocurrency exchanges than any other organization?
There are concerns, so I would suggest everyone invest in companies that are even stronger in defense, the e-defense. So companies like Coinbase and Gemini in the US is properly gated. So those are the places where I think it's safer. And yeah.
Do you have some tips for personal investment portfolios in terms of diversification or thinking about this area?
I think one thing I really hope people would think about before investing is it is just like any other volatile instrument that you want to invest, just like a penny stock or currencies that is very volatile. It's the same concept, right? So there is no easy way to make money in this. Mm. Invest in your own what you can afford, really.
So some say crypto prices often move in predictable cycles. From what I'm hearing, you don't think that's so, or you can't capitalize on these cycles?
It is too early for crypto to have a cycle. Yes, I think personally, I think crypto is a store of wealth, and it is very correlated to emerging markets. It's correlated to stock market, and this year crypto is down so much. It's also because across all assets this year is probably the most wide losing year for all the instruments since 2008.
So how does your book Decrypted take into account rapid technological advances in blockchain and crypto?
It was a very strong challenge for me to write it at the time that crypto was moving a few folds and back down. So there were a lot of modification along the way. That was the challenge. But I think I wasn't trying to write so much of the technology, because I am not from the technology background. But I was really hoping to share my message that trading crypto is something like trading the financial markets in the past for me. It's just a different underlying. It's extremely new, and it's the millennials' game. So in the past, we all want to invest in gold, and then you invest in hedge funds, invest in ETF. The millennial is showing a very strong preference to invest in digital assets.
Yeah. So you say, though, while altcoins have their place, for them to try to take on Bitcoin is an entirely different challenge altogether. What do you share in this book about altcoins?
Altcoins is a very wide definition of any coins other than Bitcoin. In itself, there are, I would say, two or three different categories. The main category is the protocol layer. The protocol means the coins that would allow other applications to build on top of it.
Yep.
So there is, there is many multi-billion valuation protocols there to compete against being the main protocol for the applications. And then the other part of it is the big number one. So with the application coins, which I think that a lot of them will not exist because they are just a lot of not the right ones.
You say even if you're thinking about participating in an initial coin offering, be on the lookout for scams.
That's correct, yes. And thank goodness that has died down quite a fair bit, right? And there's a lot more government scrutiny on ICOs. So from now on, I believe things are more controlled. And also the investors are better informed, not because of my book, but as they read more and experience more, I think people are more informed right now. So we're going through a phase of a better investment quality.
Okay, so taking a look ahead, what can you tell us about what you see as a future for cryptocurrency or blockchain? What sort of trends do you think we can expect? You think we're going to move towards tighter regulation? I mean, right now, cryptocurrency is unregulated here.
So I think crypto is going to keep coming. I think the best way to explain this, I think we're going through a phase like Nasdaq, going through dot-com bubble, right? So we have a phase where hype was in, everybody's going blindsided, and then you have a crash. I think we have a big crash. I think this is what you call the pop of the bubble. And now we are going back to real development of technology. Mm. Investors are more savvy. We'll go through a period of time where some of these companies have to prove their technology, have to develop a product that's really useful. And then those that succeed will succeed, which I think a very small number of them. And then a lot will cease to exist because they just can't turn up the product that they promised to.
What is the easiest way to purchase crypto? I can't let you go without asking this one.
You can use a credit card in a US company. That's probably the easiest way to buy some.
Use your credit card?
Yeah. So some companies you can register in the US and purchase via your credit card.
Well, thank you so much for being here and sharing more about your book. Ling Ho Lan is the author of Decrypted, A Financial Trader's Take on Cryptocurrency. You've been reading with me, Michelle Martin.